Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
If you want the best coverage from the farm system to the front office, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast, now on the Dub Network. Here are your hosts, Jeff and John.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 91, and today, lots of stuff going on, trade deadline. We're going to get into all of that right now. Okay, guys, this is a big week, dude. This was huge. You know, a lot of things not necessarily great on the road trip. They're 2-4 on the road trip. But they played two good teams
Well, they're 1-2 on the road trip because
I'm sorry, the Dodgers came in town and took 2-3, and then they're 1-2 on the road trip heading to San Diego, where they're going to be tonight.
Yeah,
but you know, I know they lost two. They lost a horrible game Monday. That was bad. And proof right there, what they needed is the bullpen, and we've talked about that over and over.
Sure, sure.
Get this out of the way. But I tell you what, on top of the two bad wins was an unbelievable win Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And I think that the Astros, what is it that the Japanese general said in World War II when they bombed Pearl Harbor and everyone was excited in Japan, and he said, "I'm afraid we may have awakened a sleeping giant." Hey, you and I know Marcus Semien. We've talked to him many times. Mm-hmm. He's one of the most reserved, great guys, just a super nice guy. He got pissed.
Yeah, he did. He did. So the loss Monday stunk. You know, had a 3-run lead with Chapman on the mound, the call at the plate at the end, which stood, even though it looked like there is evidence it could have been overturned. And then, you know, the next night, 4-3, a play at the plate ended up costing him in the eighth when Semien was called out on replay. So, you know, the games were close. They were very competitive. It sounded like the Astros, the ownership they'd had of the Rangers the last few seasons, where you'd go there and it'd be 12-3 every night. So,
yeah.
The game Wednesday started out pretty crappy because Bregman hit a 3-run homer in the first. And you're like, here we go again. And Andrew Heaney got it together and tossed 4 scoreless innings after that. And, you know, in the first inning, he'd hit Yordan Alvarez on an 0-2 pitch. I mean,
okay, so you're with me. You don't think that was on purpose?
No.
I saw that Mark DeRosa said last night, oh yeah, he was hitting him. Listen, DeRosa, let me just right now try to quash that. If he was up 2-0, maybe even 3-0, you don't want to come across the plate to Yordan Alvarez after you've just given up a 3-run dinger. Right. So maybe your thought is, okay, if he's on base, you know, maybe I can try to get out of these next guys because he's killed us. So maybe I will send a message on 2-0, maybe 3-0 or something like that behind on the plate, because you know you don't want to bring it right over the middle. You're up 0-2. I mean, you got 2 strikes on the guy, and you need to get an out there. He was not throwing at him.
No, he hadn't recorded an out yet.
Exactly.
He was down 3-0. The last thing he needs to do is put somebody else on base, especially when you're ahead 0-2.
Exactly.
So he hits him. It was Alvarez's first plate appearance off the injured list. You know, he hadn't played for a month or so.
Right.
The timing of it after the home run doesn't look good, but you do that on the first pitch.
Yeah.
You don't screw around. You just get it out of the way, send your message, and that's it. So when Semien comes to bat in his second at bat in the third inning, first pitch gets drilled. And what he said after the game was pretty interesting. He said, "I got hit by a 4-seam fastball by a sinker baller."
Yep.
You know, Framber Valdez never throws a 4-seamer, and he throws one in and up and in and hits Semien. It seemed apparent at that point that And, you know, Dusty Baker's old school. That's the baseball that Dusty Baker grew up in. And frankly, that's the baseball that, that Bruce Bochy grew up in, too.
Exactly.
But...
and Bochy would never call for him to hit Alvarez in that position. No. He's trying to win this game. He's got to. He wants to stay ahead of them.
And you got to get your pitcher on track.
Exactly.
Anyway, so
DeRosa's wrong.
Two out. You know, it was one out when Semien got hit. Travis Jankowski makes an out. Nate Lowe hits a home run, and at that point, I guess it was Semien said that when he touched home, he told Martin Maldonado that we're going to come back and win this game.
Yep.
And Maldonado said, no, we're going to beat you like it was when you were in Oakland. And
right.
So it was, this is hero stuff. When Semien came up his next at bat, he hit a 3-run homer.
Yes.
I mean, that is shoving it up somebody's ass.
Right there.
Right there. You can't get any bigger than that. It was a 3-run homer, huge situation. And he stared and he talked the whole way around the bases.
Right.
Next inning, the fifth.
It was so funny when he got home and he said something because Kathy, who watches the game, she loves to watch it, especially when they're winning, and she goes, he just said something to that catcher. And I go, did you not see him running the bases?
Right.
I said, he is pissed.
And then the next inning, Garcia hits the grand slam.
Threw it low. Threw it low.
Okay. He might have. Yeah. I mean, it was his last pitch. Anyway, so Semien touches home and just starts talking.
Yeah.
Saying it. And according to Marcus, he said to Maldonado, I told you we were going to win this game.
Yep.
And, you know, the bench is cleared and the umpires, they didn't need to throw anybody out, but
exactly.
They did.
Exactly.
And, but.
Not even the catcher. He didn't do anything wrong either.
They weren't being confrontational with each other.
They were jawing at each other a little bit, and that's sports.
But they weren't in each other's faces getting ready to throw down.
No, they were not.
So, anyway, but what it did, what Semien did is Semien lit a fire in the team.
Right.
Now, the off day yesterday, going to the beach, maybe that put the fire out, but I don't think so. I think that, and tonight's starting pitcher might put the fire out, but the fact of the matter is that this team woke up, they scored 13 runs, they might have been reminded how good they are after two tough series against two really good teams. I mean, the Dodgers and Astros are good teams, but if you look at the Rangers are 8-4 since the All-Star break. That's good. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really good. It's not like they're playing like crap.
No.
So,
and it's not like like you said, the Astros didn't win by, you know, 6 runs Monday night and then 3 runs Tuesday night. There was 2 1-run games.
Right.
My 1-run clicker had to get.
Yeah, it's updated.
It had to get updated 2 days in a row on that. But boy, God, that was so fun Wednesday. It was fun to see that Wednesday. More than anything, you and I have talked to Seager. Semien is not a guy. When you talk about Semien needs to be a leader or do that, he is a leader, but he's not a leader that closes the clubhouse and screams and yells at everybody to get their fucking stuff and gear, excuse me. But that's not what he does. Yeah. He goes out early every day and works out. He shows young guys that he is going to be – he's working hard for everything he needs.
Right.
But, boy, oh, boy, he got jolly there. Yeah. He was pissed.
He's he commands respect. I mean, he's got a pedigree.
Yep.
It's still a – it's an older team in some regards, yes, but a lot of the position players are still young and need somebody to follow and an example to follow. And the way Marcus Semien goes about his business is commendable, and it's something that you hope that all your – if you're a manager or general manager, you hope everybody who plays for you is like Marcus Semien or works like Marcus Semien.
Exactly.
Doesn't want to come out of the games. I hope he doesn't get suspended. Because that would prevent him from playing 162 games. I'm sure he can appeal it. And again, the MLB is going to look at it all as they always do, but it just didn't seem like something like warrants a suspension. You know, it was just two guys talking and they got ejected. Now the benches did clear, but no punches were thrown, nothing like that.
It wasn't even close to throwing punches. Right. They were just basically, and in fact, it really got kind of heated when Garcia hit the grand slam. When he got home, that's when him and Maldonado, and I think they were just talking.
But Adolis hugged him.
He did what? He what?
I thought he hugged him.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he was trying to tap him on the back. And I think he was saying, listen, you know, something to that effect. Hey, because there was the game when Adolis hit the home run, looked back at him, because they had been jawing at each other.
Initially, I thought they might have been mad because how slow Garcia went around the bases.
He did. That's what I was telling
you. He didn't watch it. No. Or flip his bat, but he took his sweet time getting around the bases. Oh, my gosh. Especially around third. But anyway, it's just one of those things. And I tell you, the Astros don't like it when somebody confronts them.
No, they don't.
They still live in a fantasy about the trash can beating. And,
right.
You know, they don't get it, you know. And then, you know, something like this, somebody says something to them and they get their feelings hurt. So it'll be interesting. You know, they have one more series. It'll be in Arlington, and then that's it. You know, because this year the schedule's different.
It's not 19 games anymore.
They don't play 19; it's 13, and I don't mind that. But anyway, it'll be a big series. The Astros aren't going anywhere. The Rangers aren't going anywhere.
No.
And both teams are trying to get better.
Yeah, so I tell you who else is getting better are the Angels.
Yeah, I don't.
That's weird though.
I still don't buy them. I don't.
They don't have Trout till August, right?
They're seven games out.
They're four and a half out of the wild
card. Four out in the wild card. Three, it might be three, actually, because they play the Blue Jays this weekend, and that's a battle for the last potential opportunity for the Angels to get into
the
wild card mix. Look, they have Ohtani, who's great. He can't carry him alone. They do need help. Giolito will help. Ronaldo Lopez will help. Their bullpen's always been – it's been a disaster, really, since Francisco Rodriguez left. I mean, they just can't get anybody back there. I mean, Houston Street was good, but and it is interesting. But, I mean, I think it was predictable.
Yeah.
You know, they're hot at the right time, but they might be hot at the wrong time long term. Absolutely. I mean, you know, if this thing falls apart on them, they've won 8 of 9, I think. And, you know, they're a five-game losing streak from being also-rans again.
Exactly.
And then they're going to be
– they've got to jump two teams.
They're going to have Ohtani. They're going to get – if he leaves, they get like a pick in the 70th overall. Right. They don't get a good pick for him.
Why is that? I mean, I thought that you got a pick in between the first and second round, but is it because he was a arbitration?
I'm not sure what it is. It's not – you know, they're not getting a first round pick. You know,
no.
They're not, you know, and then, yeah. Anyway.
It's about 65 to 70 is where they think
they have an opportunity to really make improvements for the team because I think realistically, nobody expects him to go back to the Angels.
No, I don't think so.
And if he does go back, it's bad for the Angels from a payroll standpoint.
Right.
Because you're paying him, I don't know, $50 million, $45-50 million.
Right.
You're still on the hook for Trout for 37 a year. That damn Rendon deal's killing him. You know, so, I mean, you've got.
Thank goodness the Rangers
have 100. You'll have 110, 120 million tied up into three players.
Exactly.
You know, and it'll really kind of cripple him. I mean, if I'm the Rangers, I want him to re-sign Ohtani, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it really puts them in a terrible position, but you know, I've seen sources say, oh yeah, they, you know, want to give it a final shot to make the playoffs and to let fans see Ohtani. And you know what, you got to do what's best for the team. And
it's Art Moreno's ego that has gotten in the way here.
Sure.
Because I guarantee you, who's the president of baseball? Who's their GM?
Well, Perry Manassian's their
and I GM. Guarantee you, his advice is, look, Let's start. They don't have a farm system. It's ranked 25th out of 30, something like that. We can build this farm system up. Yes, he's a rental, but we will get a top 100 prospect for sure. Maybe even a top 50.
You'd get a couple, yeah.
You might get a couple of them. And if nothing else, there are guys that are lower in other systems that would be high in our system, and these are big leaguers that would be here. We could build this up. But Moreno is a stubborn mule. he was gonna sell the team. Now he's not going to sell the team. And so he is stubborn on it, and he thinks I can just money whip. And he signed bad contract after bad contract.
Sure.
He did it with Josh Hamilton. He did it with Pujols. He did it with CJ. Did okay with there, but he wasn't the CJ Wilson.
Right, he was injured the last couple of years of that
exactly, deal. and then he hamstrung himself with these guys that were 45 years old by the time they were. Well, and Hamilton just didn't perform.
Yeah,
you know, he kind of fell off the cliff there, and ended up paying the Rangers to just put him in the lineup.
Yeah, the Hamilton thing was, you know, it was a mistake all around. Josh should have never left. He realizes that they didn't offer him the same support that the Rangers offered him. It was Mike Socha, who old school hardliner, against Ron Washington, who's a player's manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he'll chew your ass when you need to. But
Josh Hamilton would go into Ron Washington's office and take naps on his couch.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Socha wouldn't go for that crap.
No, no.
And so it was a disaster from the start. But it was 5 years, $125 million at a time when there weren't a lot of nine-figure contracts flying around. So, yeah, it's not always the shiniest toy that gets you to the promised land. And
no.
They're finding that out. They have the two best players in the world on their team. And they're not good.
No.
And I mean, you know, they're playing well right now with Ohtani. I just don't believe it. You know, you can't go this long without good players and sustain it. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, I could be totally wrong, but they've taken their path, which has kind of freed up everybody who wanted Ohtani to start on another path here at the trade deadline, which is in a couple days. It's on Tuesday.
I'll be out there.
I'll be out there eventually. It's an interesting time.
I love that day.
Rangers have they're in San Diego. So is the front office. They're in San Diego also. They're meeting.
They
did, and so they're out there. That's their.
They might come home from San Diego. Somebody might join that plane ride.
That's kind of what I wrote today at rangersday.com, which is $5.99 a month, $35 for six or $60. For 12 months.
Look, I we pitch this all the time. And guys, look, I'm coming from the Ranger fan perspective, okay? I'm telling you right now, this is the best Rangers coverage from the farm to the front office. It is the best Ranger coverage there is. It is every day we cover the Rangers. I throw in my 2 cents every once in a while, but Jeff's a professional journalist who's covered the Rangers since 2008. It's cheap. My gosh, $60 to get it for a year. I mean, that's less than $5.99 a month, right?
It is. It's $5 a month.
$5
simple a month. Simple math.
It's simple math. He's the mathematician. I'm not. Guys, okay, I'm done pitching because we're going to talk trade deadline stuff, but I'm telling you, go sign up. Give it to if you know somebody that is a big Ranger fan, buy it for them for Christmas or buy it for them for their birthday. This is something to get because it's Thank good.
You. Yeah, it's good. It is.
It's
it
very
is.
Good.
Yeah.
And you're not paying for me. You're paying for him and T.R. Sullivan, who comes on and writes some stuff every once in a while, too.
Yeah.
So,
But, yeah, no, it's good. But, yeah, the trade deadline, Rangers are in San Diego. Front office guys are in San Diego.
Who all goes on that? So, all the
assistant? Well, all the assistant guys. So, obviously, Chris is there. I wouldn't be surprised if Ray Davis is there or would fly in at some point. He has his own plane, so he can go wherever he wants.
He can do what he wants, yeah.
Ross Fenstermaker's there. I'm assuming Josh Boyd is there. I don't want to leave anybody out, but I am going to because I'm just going to stop there.
Yeah, okay.
It's a group that's out there, we'll see what happens. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's all kinds of rumors of who's available, who the Rangers might be interested in. I just saw something that they might be interested in Justin Verlander.
Right.
You know, and sure, hey, you know, if the Mets take the money and he's looking good, do it. You know, and
he's been good the last, what, 9 starts or something like that?
He's not a great postseason pitcher, though, if you look at his career numbers. But I wouldn't take him to get to the post. I'd take my chances.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's Padres specifically. You know, they're what, I think 5 games under .500. They have this unbelievable roster.
Oh, God.
They are so talented. And it's just not clicking.
And they have depleted their farm system.
Yeah, that's how, you know, last year they made the trade for Juan Soto and Josh Hader. They didn't come cheap.
I don't think Soto's getting traded, do you?
No, I mean, my theory is, or a theory, is that if you offer A.J. Preller the right prospects, he can say, all right, we're retooling the farm system, and this gives me a chance this winter to go get more guys.
Right.
So Soto has 1 year of control remaining, so I like that. He's obviously a special player.
Started slow this year, but now he's really come on.
He was an all-star. He's going to be an expensive sign, but I mean that's if you have a chance to sign one of the best players in the world, you do it.
Yes. There's no argument.
So anyway, I would unload the farm for Juan Soto, if it were to come to that. He would go right into the. I don't know. He could hit wherever the heck you want him. I would guess he would move to. He would bat third.
Right.
Simeon Seager, Soto, Garcia, Lowe, Young, Heim. It just makes your lineup so much deeper.
Yeah.
And while you're there, you might as well get Josh Hader.
Yeah.
You know, the really good, the unbelievable he's a rental reliever too. Who, after the trade last year, wasn't very good, but he's a rental. Blake Snell, one of the best starting pitchers in the game right now. He's a rental. So there are three players, maybe more out there, just on the San Diego roster alone who would help your team. So
the Rangers could do two things. They could go into there and just punish the Padres and mm-hmm. just beat them by 4 runs tonight, 5 runs tomorrow, and solidify the fact that let's really talk about this. It's obvious. You can see the difference yeah. between us and you. And even though and do something like that and then help themselves by pulling out. I'm of the opinion, I said all along, you know, it's very rare I'm right, but I said from the beginning I didn't think Ohtani would be there. It started yeah. to change where people were saying, it looks like he's going to get moved. I think they're going to move him, and I was still going, I don't see it. I yeah. still don't think Moreno's smart enough to do that. He's too ego. I don't think the Rangers do – it's obvious they can make a big package deal, which would be great for Soto mm-hmm. or something like that. But I think it's going to be individual moves. I think they're going to do something like a Bednar where they might give up some good prospects for and then maybe rent a couple of guys that wouldn't take as big a deal to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Snell especially, I don't know why you wouldn't sell Snell individually because you could probably get a top 30 prospect from the Rangers who might be at the bottom of the top 100. It wouldn't take much, but Bednar would be the one that probably would take more. Just because he's controllable 3 more years.
Yeah, but he's still just a reliever. I mean, just a reliever. He's pretty good, but
you'd have solidified the back end of the bullpen. Yeah. You could probably sign Chapman back to something.
We'll see, yeah.
But any case, all right, go ahead.
So anyway, I mean, what you're saying isn't wrong. I mean, you know, it could happen.
Really? I'm used to wrong.
The White Sox, you know, have
yes.
Dylan Cease, so I'm a big fan of. They traded Giolito and Lopez, they got the Angels number 2 and number 3 prospects, which is a huge overpay. And right. honestly, I think it's kind of gonna delay the market a little bit because teams might see that and be like, well, this is the market. And the sellers are saying this is the market. And the buyers are like, no, it's not.
No, so, it's not. Yeah.
we'll see about that. But, Bednar, sure. Mitch Keller apparently is available, but geez, if you're the Pirates and you think you're close, why would you trade a young starter? I don't get that one. The White Sox have more than just Lopez in their bullpen. You know, they have Joe Kelly and the guy whose name is escaping me right on the tip of my tongue, but they also have Lance Lynn, who's pitched better of late, who would probably be really comfortable being with a contender and with the Rangers, where he had a lot of success.
He's a beast. I mean, he might give up 4 runs, but he'll be the guy that'll go 6, and not we've seen him do that. And look, he's got the stuff to be a pitcher that can do that.
Yeah.
And maybe his head's not in it because they're so far out of it. I don't know. Sometimes I've said this over and over, and Taylor Hearn's what I said too. You sometimes a change of scenery and new eyes on you to go, this is what you need to do, can fix a lot of things.
I think he and Mike Maddox would be a good pair.
Well, they're also, the Rangers are real good at taking pitchers and adjusting something. They did it with Minor, Lynn, what's his name that's with
Gibson.
Phil. Gibson with Philly.
He's with the Orioles, but yeah.
The Orioles now. He went to the Phillies that they traded. But they those guys that retool their career, something here gets them going, and they roll till it here. Look what they did with Dunning, too, who has been – Dunning was always – he was kind of thought of well with the White Sox, and then he comes over here, and he's just been – he's a strike thrower. He's up there throwing that sinker and doing his job, whether he's going to end up in the bullpen or not. But right now, it's strange to say this, but right now the Rangers are doing good things with pitchers and turning them into guys that are performing.
Sure. Yeah, and I don't know. You got any predictions on what they're going to get? Like legitimate thoughts, like they could get, like you see Eduardo Rodriguez. Okay, he's a nice pitcher with Detroit, but do you want 3 lefties in your rotation, or do you have to move one of the lefties through the bullpen. I mean, he's having a great year. He's a very good pitcher. So I wouldn't be disappointed if they got him. He can opt out of his deal after this year, which you know, might make you wonder if he's a rental or if he's a
right
controllable piece. That might affect the price. You know, the Tigers have some relief arms too. But I just have no feel for it. But I do kind of like the Verlander idea. So I'm gonna if they can't get Cease is who I would like them to get as a fan. It makes a lot of sense because he's controllable. It fills a need for next year too. So would Verlander, mm-hmm. who is
under
is
control,
controllable,
and he even has an option after that for 25.
I mean, he's 40. You know, yeah. do you worry about that?
I say this all the time, though. A guy that's 40, 41, if he stays in shape, even if he ends up being your three or fourth starter who's been there and he's been that good for that long, that's not a bad guy. Because, you know, a guy that's 42 maybe he's your third or fourth starter, but, you know, once every three or four starts, he has one of those seven-inning, one-run games or something.
Yeah.
And that's that. You want that out of your fourth or fifth starter.
Well, and one thing we need to keep in mind is Kate Upton would come along with that, so –
And yes,
so
yes.
We need to.
Who
we
needs
need
to be on the podcast?
We need to also think about that
in
so,
person. She needs to come sit in in studio.
anyway, so we'll see. It's going to be interesting, but I still think it's. I don't.
Okay, so that's your prediction.
I don't think that. Just what little history we have with Chris Young. He goes big.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
He goes big, so.
I think he wants to solidify himself.
I think big to me in my mind is Dylan Cease.
Okay.
So if Cease or Verlander, not both.
Okay.
But and then relievers, they just need to get some relievers. It doesn't matter who. They just need better ones.
Right, exactly.
So and, two relievers, one starter. That's my prediction.
Okay. I have two relievers, one starter too that I think they're going to go out and I think their big splash is going to be Bednar. I think they're going to give up someone like a White and a Gutierrez, something like that, that I put out yesterday, which might line up on your – I don't know how that accurate that calculator thing is they do, but I like to play that game because, you know, I'm a nerd, and I play that game. But that evened out right there, and you get Bednar, and you've got a back end of the bullpen guy for the next 3 years, and then you're going to go out. I think Lance Lynn is somebody that fits, and then as a starter, and then maybe someone like a – maybe you do something for Hader. Also, and you do a Hader and Bednar here with Lance Lynn. And I'm telling you right now, that's Lance Lynn. I know you're thinking, I'd love Verlander, by the way. I think Verlander would be great. So maybe something like Bednar and Verlander and then Hader. That would be fantastic too. But you put Lynn in this rotation, you put two good arms at the back end of this bullpen, and your rotation gets better right away. Then you really are saying, all right, can you give me five or six a night? You know, you're not saying go to six or seven every night. If you can get me five or six and keep me in it, then we can do it.
Yeah, we'll find out here in a couple of days.
I'm always wrong on these, but that's why we play the game. It's
all right.
Too much fun. All right, guys, that's it. So what do you say we go down in the bus leagues? Let's talk about what's going on down in the bus leagues right after this.
Yeah, let's do it.
Down in the bus leagues is brought to you by the Round Rock Express. Jeff, what's going on in Round Rock?
Well, not a lot right now because the team's in El Paso, and then they're headed to Oklahoma City next week, but you know, such a good time there in Round Rock at Dell Diamond. The team comes home on August 8th to play the Albuquerque Isotopes. $2 Taco Tuesday, which I love. The next night, $1 hot dogs, which I also love. Thursday the 10th, it's a brew review, the original Thirsty Thursday, and then Pints and Pups, so you can bring your pup to the dog. You need to go check that one out at roundrockexpress.com/dogs. And then on the 11th, this is the big one, it's Chili Night with Brian Bumgarner, who's Kevin from The Office, and the very famous scene where he spills the giant pot of chili all over.
Hysterical.
There'll be fireworks that night. Then over on the 12th, Saturday the 12th, which is my son's birthday, there's a post-game concert. It's also Sneakerhead Night, which I know you like, John. And then Sunday the 13th is Kids Day. So go to MILB.com/round-rock for more information.
All right, guys, welcome to the Round Rock Express down in the bus leagues as we're going to go down and talk about every affiliate in the bus leagues and what's going on down there. This organization might look different.
It's going to look different.
It's going to look different next
week.
There's
no might.
Yeah, there is no might. But, you know, if we're going to go, if we're going to start all the way down, let's go all the way down. We'll go down to the Dominican Summer League. We can at least get some stats there.
Yeah.
So they play two teams there.
Two teams, yeah.
They are not A and B teams.
They're not varsity JV. No, it's just, I don't know how they do it, but they do it.
Okay, so they're 19 and 18, one team, and the other team is 15 and 21. Did they have a player of the week? Someone was
Braylon Morrell. He was he had a real good week down there, 375, three homers, five RBIs, 1474 OPS. So he's a, you know, maybe, you know, you never know, but it's always good to see guys produce. So,
yes, exactly.
There you have it.
There you go. Okay, going over to the ACL, the Arizona Complex League, started out not so great, but now they have been playing great. They've scuttled a little bit lately, but they are 16 and 21. They're 4-6 in their last 10, and there's only one guy right now we're talking about there, and that's Sebastian Walcott.
Well, he's worth talking about. You know, still 17. He's killing the ball. Six homers, what, 280, 923 OPS. He struggled in the Dominican. We've talked about it. There's some cultural things. I mean, he's from the Bahamas, but he speaks English.
Right.
He spent a lot of time in the United States. So this is just where he's more comfortable, and it was the right thing to do for the player.
Sure.
So, but that team here in I don't know, a week to 2 weeks is going to start looking a little different as some of the draftees who are going to play as they start playing.
Right.
You know, they're there now in Arizona to onboard and figure out the lay of the land, and they'll play their first games there. Wyatt Langford is probably going to debut there. So, I think the Rangers ended up signing either 15 of 18 or 14 of 18.
Right, I think it's 15 is what I saw.
They signed Max Martin, the 11th rounder, at on Monday night. The deadline was Tuesday, so.
Was it the 16th rounder they weren't going to sign, but he was the kid going to LSU?
Jake Brown, yeah. And then there's a kid from Golden, Colorado, where I lived at one point, and he ended up going to Oregon State. He was the 20th rounder. So, and I think they missed on somebody else. But, you know, kind of in that range.
Right.
You don't expect to sign everybody. They want money, and you're out of it at that point. And
right.
With NIL now, shoot, you know, the Brown kid going to LSU would probably make more than he would have.
Sure.
From the Rangers. So
he gets the co-college experience.
Yeah, and he's from Louisiana, and they're reigning national champs. And so
probably been a dream of his forever.
Yeah. Hey, that's fine.
Yep. All right, so let's go down to the down east. That's the low A team. They're 12 and 15, 3-7 in their last 10, and they've won one. They've kind of scuttled, but they're already a playoff team.
That's right. They won the first half going away, really, and so they're in the playoffs. They can't score any runs. They're really struggling offensively.
They're young.
They are young. Yeah, they are young. And then their good hitters are getting called up pretty quick. But it's the pitching that we've mentioned throughout the season. Brock Porter, of course, the fourth rounder, should have been a first rounder. He's
right.
Getting his first taste there, but Aiden Curry's pitching really well. Joseph Montalvo, Leandro Lopez, DJ McCarty, Dylan McClain is pitching well. The fourth rounder in 2020, I think he has the highest ERA of all of them. No, I take that back. Leandro Lopez of those six has the highest ERA, and it's 3.42. McClain has a 3, and everybody else is under 3. So that tells you the makeup of the team, you know, on that 2020 draft.
It's looking like a great draft.
McClain was the fourth rounder. The first rounder was Foscue. Second rounder, Evan Carter.
I've heard of him.
Heard of him. Third rounder, TK Roby, who's going to be back in action at some point in August. And then the fifth rounder is Thomas Ajayi, who we're going to talk about in a minute. He was our guest last week. So, anyway, good pitching. I'd imagine that some of them are going to get moved up. I don't think Brock Porter gets moved up, though.
Think he'd stay there for the year.
He's going to stay there for the year. Get his innings in. He's up to 53. He's probably got about 30 more.
I was about to say, they're not going to. Yeah. Are they going to take him to 100 or probably about 80?
No, I don't. I think 80 is probably the good round number.
And it's what you do because he hasn't pitched anywhere close to 80 innings. Okay, now let's go down. Go from there. Let's go to High A Hickory Crawdads. They're 18 and 8. They're 5 and 5 in their last 10. They've won one. Cam Colley got called up.
He did, and he hit two home runs the other night.
Yeah.
And, you know, a former guest on our show, and he's
– Texas boy?
Texas boy, east of Houston, and great defensive player, incredible speed. He probably, you know
– Can catch a football.
Maybe he was – yeah, that's right. Maybe he was in a funk there and with the down east guys, and maybe he's going to follow Abby Ortiz and start going crazy up there. Ortiz has been great.
Well, obviously. He had come on at down east. Yeah, he'd really on at the end, and he was doing well. So,
but Ortiz, he might be the player of the year, the minor league player of the year. I mean, you can't ignore his numbers. Now, I think we'll be a little bit partial to Thomas Ajayi.
Yes.
And we just might as well roll into Frisco at this point.
Yeah, let's go to Frisco. Frisco's 13-11. They've hovered around at 500 all year long. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They have lost one. That's the latest streak. But I've said it over and over. The talent is basically there. Now, the pitchers, a lot of the pitching talent was there. It's kind of moved up and down where White's been promoted up all the way through AAA into big leagues. Alex Spies was there. He's now in AAA.
Yeah.
So, you know, but when it comes to the – in the field and the bats, that's kind of where the top-end prospects are. You got Acuna there. You've got Evan Carter there, who's the number one prospect. And then, obviously, Sajacy, who we always love to talk about.
Right, right. And he had another grand slam here this week. He's up to 4 in the season. He's leading that team in home runs, 15. He has the most RBIs, I think 70. And, he can play a lot of positions. He's kind of blocked.
Yeah.
You know, so he's going to have to learn how to play outfield, which he said he's willing to do. If you didn't see last week's episode,
great.
It's on our YouTube channel now. The audio has been posted, so you might have already listened, but
if you want to see what he looks
go
like.
Go ahead and give it a look. And he's just a good kid, too, you know, on top of all of that. So, this is probably where you're going to start to notice some significant differences in the organization. It will be from either the Frisco roster or the Round Rock roster. And, again, it all depends on what happens before Tuesday. But there are a lot of guys. So JC might be one of them. Cunha's probably one of them. Jack Leiter, who's on the development list, maybe he's one of them. You never know. Dane Acker, who's already been traded once.
Yeah.
He's pitching well. So you just don't know. But you get prospects to – part of the reason you get them is to trade them. You know, you know that they all can't make the major leagues with your team. So
when you go into trade deadline, it's good to have a fat wallet with a lot of, you know, because we've always called them other currency.
Yeah.
And they are other currency. And the Rangers right now have a pretty fat wallet with their prospects that they can shop with. So, yes, we've talked about this over and over, but without a doubt, some of these kids that we've gotten to know, really like, and all of that, they're just not going to be here come next Wednesday. They're going to be in other organizations.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And if they're not, then it's probably a disappointing trade deadline. I'm assuming some kids we really like aren't going to be here anymore.
Yeah, and then but that's part of baseball.
It is.
And I think it's understand good for that. Them. And it's good for them, and you wish them well. And so we'll see. We'll see. We'll know more this time next week.
AAA is Round Rock. They're 14-10. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They have lost 4 in a row. They really took off like a bat out of hell, playing really well, and they've just kind of scuttled here lately. But they're still, you know, 4 games above on the second half.
Yeah,
above 500. But few guys there that that may not be here too.
Yeah. You got to be realistic and look at it that way. And you kind of look, all right, who's blocked? You know, and Justin Foscue is definitely blocked. There's no question
Davis
about
Wenzel,
it.
Unless he becomes a
blocked.
He's blocked.
And then Dustin Harris has a little more of an opening in left field, but, depending on what the Rangers do, you don't know. So, and also, you gotta keep in mind 40-man implications. Harris is on the 40-man. The Rangers are probably going to need a 40-man spot.
Right.
Foscue and Wenzel or would be Rule 5 eligible after this season.
Right.
I don't know if you'd protect Wenzel or not, but you'd definitely want to protect Foscue.
Right.
So that's going to cost you a 40-man spot. I know that guys come on and off the roster, but it's just there's a big – there's a lot more to it than just, oh, let's just go get 5 guys. Well, how are you going to get them on the 40-man? You know, right. who's not going to make it? One guy who is no longer on the 40-man and no longer with the Rangers is Taylor Hearn, who was at Round Rock. He got DFA'd last week, traded to the Braves.
Good and sad for him.
Yeah, good opportunity, maybe a change of scenery, listening to hearing from somebody different, maybe something clicks
happens
with him.
Happens to every team.
Yeah.
You pick somebody off of waivers, and they come here and succeed, and it's just they just needed to hear something different. Yeah. Somebody saw something. I hope that's the case with Taylor. What a great guy. He was always nice to us and talking to everybody.
It's not like they didn't they traded him to the Braves.
Right.
They didn't trade him to the A's who are just throwing shit on the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
The Braves, that's the a Braves great way to put obviously that. Are a winning team. They have the best record in baseball. And so perhaps they see something they like and can find utility for him and saw something and want to think, hey, this is the quick fix, and maybe it clicks. And we hope it does because he's a former guest on our show. He's a great guy.
Right.
Maybe there is pressure being the local guy. He's from Roy City, which is just east of Dallas. And so maybe there is something there. I don't know, but it's a big arm.
Yep.
There's talent there, and we hope it clicks for him at some point. And,
right.
Hopefully this is it. And so good for him, bad for us.
Yep. Exactly.
Another note in Round Rock, Cole Wynn is on the temporary inactive list, I guess you call it, or maybe it's the development. I don't know what list they put him on, but nothing's wrong with him. His grandfather, unfortunately, passed away, and they were pretty close, so the Rangers are allowing him to go up to the funeral and be around family. So, and he's been pitching better in the bullpen. He's the reigning Pacific Coast League player pitcher of the week.
Yeah.
5 scoreless innings there in relief.
He's done that twice, hasn't he?
Yeah, twice. I don't think he's a reliever full time. It's not like he's just pitching one inning a night. He's been logging multiple innings. So I think that this is just a different way for him to see the game,
right?
And maybe get comfortable, and it's something he can take into a start. Still walking a few too many guys, but that's all right. He'll figure it out. And, he's still young, 23.
Sure.
He's on the 40-man. He's not an option, obviously, right now. But I don't think it's somebody that they want to give up on and
right.
just get rid of. I think that they still see something there. And hopefully it clicks because he's from Colorado, so always going to have a soft spot in my heart.
Well, guys, anything else before we get out of here? You know what we need to talk about? Our buddy Josh Sneed.
Oh, right. We have to talk about that. Josh Sneed, the comedian, he was on episode 80.
Whose team, by the way?
Reds. They're good.
Yes, they are.
Anyway, he also owns a T-shirt company.
Yes.
It's called In the Clutch, intheclutch.com. And we are now affiliates of that.
Yes.
So this is what you need to do. You go there to the website, and you find some Ranger shirts. There are some good Ranger shirts out there, including one called the new Zeke in Town, Ezekiel Duran, because Ezekiel Elliott, he's gone, so we needed another Zeke. And we got Duran. There's Corey Seager shirts, Nate Lowe shirt. There's Simeon shirts. There's a Jacob DeGrom shirt.
DeGrominator.
There's a play on Bally Sports called Belly Up Sports. There's a 10-cent beer night shirt. So there's a lot of options for you if you like the Rangers. If you go to intheclutch.com/Rangers today, and then when you check out, type in promo code Rangers today, you'll get, I think it's 10% off.
Uh-huh.
And $5 shipping, so buy a lot of shirts. $5 every order, doesn't matter the size. And so go there and do that, and then go to rangercity.com and subscribe for $5.99 a month, $35 for 6 months, and $60 for a year. Go to our YouTube channel.
And subscribe. And
subscribe.
Show your friends.
And share it. Let everybody know. We're slowly building and moving upward on our other revenue forms like Google Ads and YouTube Ads, and so it all counts, baby. It all counts. And go to the website, even if our website, rangersday.com, even if you get it in the email and you prefer to do it there, it's a resource. Every story we've written is archived there. You can go read about Alex Spies. You can go read about Sebastian Walcott. Guys, we've both written.
You've written about.
and there's going to be so much more. So go there, rangetoday.com.
Absolutely.
You'll be glad you did. Absolutely. I mean, it's so cheap.
Guys, I think we're going to wind this thing down. Thanks to everybody that's been a part of it. Next week, we may try to do something right after the trade deadline ends. Don't know yet. We'll see. Maybe go live or something and do that just on Twitter. I don't know. Well, maybe live YouTube. We'll figure that out. We'll have to talk to John, like you said, to figure out exactly what we can do.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe.
But by the
maybe
time
the, we, maybe the players they get will want to come on our show. We'll see.
Absolutely. Next week, this team will look different, and when we come back next week to do our show, there's going to be some new players, and the Rangers will be back in town after this road trip to San Diego. They'll be back, and we'll do then.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Until then, we'll see you at the yard.